Joseph Fuoco is a guy that you had interviewed for Last Train from Hiroshima and had given you information that is part of what made it's very interesting and it was very informative for you, correct?
Yes, and he also had information that seemed to connect a few of the dots that really didn't fit with something, a mystery that had surrounded the little boy bomb. It fit into those missing pieces a little too well. It's something that should never have happened, actually. And
what do you mean by that, Charles?
The guy was very, very believable. He had all the photographs. He had photographs of him under the nose art of one of the planes that's disputed now, the plane Bad Penny. He had the marker down at the end of the runway at Tinian Island. It's the same guy in the photos that's in the photos of his wedding a year later. Even a letter from President Truman that was displayed at his funeral.
Now, so, where did you meet this guy, Joseph Fuoco, that you used as a source for your book?
A friend who's a history buff knew him, a very, very bright guy, very trusted guy. The firefighters all knew him. He was a firefighter himself at one point. It was hard to imagine that a veteran and a firefighter would make this up. I didn't carry the usual level of skepticism, for example, that for Nurse Nancy Cantwell, I met her in New York. When I went over to Japan, I met the other nurses that she had worked with at a Hiroshima rescue station, and they had pictures of her when she was a young woman and all this, and all of that was double and triple verified. But his story fit in with things that Charles Sweeney had said to me.
So the story is then you got in contact with this guy, Joseph Fuoco. You met with him, and as you say, he seemed so credible from the get-go, from his reputation as a firefighter, being a veteran, having the photographs, having this letter from Truman. And so you kind of let your guard down, that you might have been more critical. You might have double checked some sources that you didn't in his case. And instead you felt like, oh, I have a find here.
And because there were no inconsistencies. That was the other, right? I had run into Hiroshima survivors or alleged Hiroshima survivors, and you run into inconsistencies.
Sure.
Very few people are good enough liars that they can remember everything they say. And I believe I ran into someone who might have begun this story as a mean-spirited person over 60 years ago. But I would say by a half century or so ago, he was believing it, that this had become his reality. And by the time I met him, he had evolved into this person where you couldn't imagine anything mean-spirited in him. If you saw at his funeral, the honor guard of police and firefighters and military by the hundreds.
So he really, Joseph Fuoco was a veteran. He was in the South Pacific. He was near, perhaps, where they were launching the planes, perhaps served on another plane. But he did not serve on the plane Necessary Evil. He did not fly the mission that day over Hiroshima.
Well, when you have two firsthand eyewitness participants, one of whom said that if it was Joe Fuoco, I could have reached across and shaken his hand, the man who was in the flight engineer's seat. And he said, and that man in that seat was Mr. Corliss, not Fuoco.
Right.
And when you have two people on the same plane who are still alive who say that, that trumps all other evidence.
So the letter, the photographs, you talked to, what was the information that you got from Joseph Fuoco, errant as it may be, what was the information that you got from him that you used so crucially in Last Train from Hiroshima?
Actually, there was one story on why that he seemed to have the explanation, which also tied in with something Chuck Sweeney had said. Chuck Sweeney had said that before they left, Luis Alvarez had inserted these polonium plugs three more polonium plugs that were the world's last of the supply. I think that might be something that Chuck Sweeney was misremembering, that he was thinking of the plugs that had been put in not 2 days before, but almost a week before.
Why would that matter?
It hadn't been touched.
Because explain why that
matters.
Because
if it had been put in 2 days before, that fit in with what Joe Fuoco said, that there had been an accident 2 days before, and that that Alvarez had put these last plugs into the bomb in order to work. Kind of like what these plugs were, was they were sort of like injecting nitrous oxide into an engine to make it burn hotter.
Right.
And Fuoco had said the bomb had been compromised in some way, and that seemed to make sense, too, because years and years earlier, Harold Urey had said the bomb had only gone off with about half the amount of matter converted to energy in the reaction zone as he had believed should have gone off.
So it because
that was about 1979 that he had said that. So
yeah,
we had this mystery of a bomb that was a much lower yield than it should have been.
This led to you, as you described it in the book, or what? How other people described it as a in a way, as sort of a dud, that it did not go off at the level that it should have gone off. Do you believe now then that that there is no scientific proof of that claim, or there's no substantiation?
Well, people have expressed an opinion that the bomb was a dud compared to how powerful it should have been. People have been expressing that opinion for about 30 years that I've heard of, and actually it's argued. Some believe it was a dud, some believe it wasn't a dud. It was lower power than it should have been. That was always a bit of a mystery to me. Joe Fuoco seemed to connect a few of the dots. There's a chance he might be right, but every observation, even any opinion he had, I really have to remove as fruit of the poison tree. If he was not in that seat.
Right. If he was not on the scientific plane, the chase plane, necessary evil the day it took off for Hiroshima. So
I am very, very sorry to every member of the 509th. I mean, I cannot apologize enough to those guys.